This could be heaven. This could be hell. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely face. Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's January 3rd, 2005. Hey, welcome to the second Morning Coffee Notes of the new year. And this Morning Coffee Notes is yet another I knew there was a reason why I stopped on that one. It's not an interstate highway 95. It must be the Interstate Highway 95. Good morning, Interstate. Some people say I sound childish when I say that. And I say, God, you don't know Drew Miceli. You don't know Drew. Something tells me that Don is actually going to like that. No, it's Don Miceli. Mr. Don Miceli. No, wrong. Ms. Don Miceli. And, oh boy. Anyway, yes, no, it's Interstate 95 and Mims. I just made a pit stop at a McDonald's in Mims, Florida, which is south of Daytona Beach on Interstate 95. And this time, I'll go for a bathroom break, because McDonald's typically have cleaner bathrooms than the rest stops do, and they're easy in, easy out. Everyone has a bathroom, they're all in the same place, and, you know, and plus I can also pick up something to drink while I'm there. To Jeff Sandquist, who's concerned that maybe I'm eating too much of McDonald's food. It's not true. I will occasionally in the morning get an Egg McMuffin, which actually, if you go look at the ingredients, well, it's a little bit on the greasy side, isn't all that bad. It's got a lot of protein and not a whole lot of starch. And one Egg McMuffin isn't like a bad way to begin the day. I get that and a cup of coffee and a glass of iced tea. And when I was in St. Augustine, I went looking for iced tea, and I found the absolute ultimate greatest iced tea product ever. It's a full gallon jug. I still have it right here. I'm looking right at it. It's a full gallon jug made by Arizona Iced Tea, and it's the called the Southern Style Unsweetened Brewed Tea, and that is exactly what it is. If you flip it around and look at the ingredients, you'll see that the ingredients are premium brewed blend of black teas using filtered water, natural flavors, citric acid, and phosphoric acid. It has no calories. Whole gallon bottle, no calories, and lots of caffeine. It's got quite a nice jolt to it, and it's really nice tasting. It's got a, the stuff that they serve at McDonald's is brewed Nest tea, not instant Nest tea, but brewed, and it tastes pretty good. But Arizona tea, tea can taste a little better than that, and the Arizona tea certainly does. And the thing that I like about it, of course, is unlike the Snapple diet iced tea, the Snapple iced tea has, it has artificial sweetener, which I like in when I'm drinking Diet Coke, but I don't like it when I'm drinking tea and coffee. I like my tea and coffee with absolutely no sugar. I really just like the natural sort of flavor of the two drinks, and I like the fact also that I can get the caffeine without any sugar. I kind of feels like sugar is like, well, what do I need the sugar for? I don't even really like the way it tastes. And it's true. As I get older, I like sugar less. I like spicy. Spicy's good. And in the South, of course, yesterday I had a bowl of red Florida-style clam chowder, and it was absolutely delicious. And it was, and since it's Southern, it has this really nice kick to it, and they use Southern local fishes and seafood, and it's not like a clam chowder as much as it is, like a fish and seafood chowder, and very, very tasty, and also quite good for you. Nothing wrong with it. There's hardly any fat, not that much carbohydrates. It's a pretty balanced meal all in itself, pretty good stuff. It's lots of vegetables. Prepared properly, it was good. It was very tasty. So at this McDonald's, I had three missions in mind. One was, of course, the usual bathroom stop. This time, I wanted to fill up my. I did something. I don't know if this is actually like okay, but I didn't feel like asking. I just filled up earlier this morning. I bought an iced tea at the McDonald's in St. Augustine. And this time, instead of getting another McDonald's iced tea, I just took the same cup in I just filled it up with ice all the way to the top, and then came back out to the car and poured some Arizona iced tea in there, which if all goes well, you'll be able to hear that at the beginning of the podcast. I basically just turned on the radio to a local Daytona Beach classics, sort of 60s, 70s, 80s type music. Here, let's see what they're playing right now.
We are into the closing with an attorney. Bad mistake. We get to the closing table, and my name was nowhere.
I don't know what that is. I don't know. I thought maybe we would get their call letters or whatever. Who knows? They're talking about something. And anyway, this is hopefully an improved sound on the last podcast that I did. That was from the Florida Panhandle a couple of days ago. And a bunch of people wrote to say that, the sound quality is getting better and better and better, but that what I ought to do is unplug the laptop from the car's battery while I'm doing the podcast, and that should get rid of the static that we're hearing while I was doing a podcast. So if the static is gone this time, then, you know, sure enough, that worked. If it's still there, well, then it must be something else. But I'm always interested in doing, you know, whatever I can do to make it sound better, like within reason, though. I mean, I run a different kind of podcast, a different kind of ship here than like Adam does. Adam is like constantly perfecting the production. And one of the things, you know, I'm on my way to Miami now. It's, let's see how many miles. I get to Miami at mile 360 on my odometer. And I'm now at 432. No, did I say 360? I meant 6. Oh, 6. Ow. I think it was 660, not 360. If it was 360, I would have already been there. But well, we'll get a mileage thing. As soon as I'm confused right now. We'll get a mileage thing. Nothing unusual about that. Most of the... It was interesting. I saw Rogers Cadenhead yesterday, and his wife Mary, and his three sons. I'd never met the family before. They were, of course, it's always nice to meet somebody's family once you know the person. And I forgot why I mentioned that. Okay, maybe it'll come back to me. Today I'm doing this with absolutely no notes. So, oh, here we go. Miami, 211 miles. That's like nothing. So at the other end, and we're like about east-west, even with Orlando right now. We passed Interstate 4, which cuts over west to Orlando. And another road at that point goes east to Daytona Beach. We're about like a little over 200 miles to Miami. I'm going actually to Miami Beach, and at the other end of this trip, at the other end of this drive, this will, as Rogers said yesterday, this is the longest drive in the continental United States, city to city. You could go probably from the border in Washington State to Key West, and that would be just a tad longer. But Seattle to Miami, it's about as far as you can go. And I could do it again. I mean, I'm all set. I love this trip. I love driving long distances stretch out the miles in front of you. It's a fascinating country, lots of interesting things to see. People have different points of view, people talk differently, the food is certainly different. People down here in the South, they talk real slow and they drag it out, and you know, they talk like I think like George Bush. And wishes that he could talk, and like I wish I could talk. In any case, so we're going down to Miami, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna like figure out how to get off the pot and get going here and build something, the next sort of layer of media convergence on the internet. I mean, people were talking about this for a long time, and you know, there's like two kinds of convergence. This is how I look at it. There's the convergence that comes from looking at things from the past looking forward, and then there's, with all possible humility, the perspective of having gotten out in front a bit and then sort of imagining where we're going to go to and then trying to build as much as you can. And then being patient and waiting for the cursor to sort of come through that place. I mean, there's been like a whole bunch of extrapolation. If you had asked me 3 years ago, would there come a time when, you know, MP3s traveling over HTTP being packaged up in XML would become like leading edge and become popular, I would have said, yeah, I think I can, you know, I'm so sure that it's going to be that way that I don't understand why we aren't doing it now, because it certainly has been technologically possible for that amount of time. But, you know, transitions take time. you know, it was interesting to see that, you know, I remember arguing with Dan Gilmore in 2000 timeframe, maybe 1999, about the role that blogging would play in, you know, news gathering, and remember taking what was then a kind of radical position, that now Dan Gilmore has, like, you know, staking his reputation, his whole career on, and believes in it so solidly that he's willing to do that. You know, so sometimes things are, I mean, what's the formula here? The formula is that, that, you know, that basically the new medium, which is the internet, I wrote about this in a piece, I think it was like 2 years ago, called, it was raised the question whether or not monoculture was simply an artifact of the 20th century. Well, we assume, because, you know, basically all of us, someday it won't be true, but today it still is true. All of us were raised in the 20th century. If we live long enough, which probably isn't very much longer, you won't be able to make that statement. But today you can. In 2004, you know, you can say basically everybody who's listening to this and thinking about this, we live in the 21st century, but we were raised in the 20th. And in the 20th century, basically, we were able to do for the first time really, really mass communication. I mean, brands like Coca-Cola, Apple, Nike, you know, were able to become known virtually throughout the entire world. There weren't many places you could go where they didn't know what Coca-Cola was or Exxon. And then, you know, more sophisticated ideas that, you know, than just brands, could also be communicated very widely on a mass level, perhaps not as universally as the brand names are, but still quite broadly. And that in order to communicate at a mass level, though, however, in the 20th century, we only knew how to do that in a centralized way, meaning that, in order to communicate massively, you had to yourself be massive, and that it was a rare commodity, that being able to communicate massively was something that only a few could do, not many. And you can start to see that breaking down at the end of the century, you know, with the advent of cable television. People like to talk about this in the media because they understand this. This isn't so gear stripping as the internet is. It's a perhaps a more manageable sort of transition. Although I'm sure that some of them would have said in like 1985 or so, you know, they would say like, well, I think that, you know, it's nice that we have cable TV, but we'll always be getting our news from one of the three big networks, ABC, NBC, or CBS. And you gotta watch out for statements like, you know, it'll always be that way, because those are like famous last words. You know, if you find yourself saying that, it's pretty sure thing that what you're saying always will be already isn't. You just don't know it yet. Wait a minute. Anyway, let's go back. Can you remind me? This is what, if this were truly interactive, I would ask you to remind me to go back to why I was at McDonald's and what I wanted to tell you about that, because I got diverted and I haven't gotten all the way back to that yet. So, McDonald's. I'm planning a little. That's a hypnotic trance that I just planted in my head there. Anyway, so right. So with the advent of cable TV, you've got hundreds of channels. You've got several news channels that didn't exist in the early 80s that are challenging the major networks, if not in numbers, certainly for authority. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, even C-SPAN sometimes. And authority is kind of like the big word. That, you know, we used to look to, when I was a kid, and now this isn't a universal thing, when I was a kid, we used to look to, Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in America. And it would have been unthinkable to not, like, we would go to Walter Cronkite for the truth. And that's about as centralized as you can get. You can't get more centralized than that. But it, the centralized distribution system has been crumbling, and you can see it. And it's a good thing that it has been crumbling, because, first of all, it's dysfunctional. And it's a lie that we're getting the truth through it, because we're not. And it's crumbling so dramatically that it's being replaced by something that is so vastly different from it in some ways, but then in other ways it's dramatically similar to it. The thing that's changed is not the mass communication, because we wouldn't give up mass communication. We like it. It's a, you know, whether it's good or not, it's part of who we are. But the cool thing about where we're going is that mass communication is no longer a scarce commodity. This is, you know, this is a hard one to wrap your head around. I mean, I have mass communication, or the potential of it. There's absolutely nothing in the way of me communicating on a massive scale as a person. I can do it. Whether I do or not is more a question of whether or not there is interest in what I have to communicate. If there's no interest in it, then believe me, I'm not going to be doing any mass communicating. But economics isn't in the way. The cost to mass communicate is dwindling, and it's no longer an issue of economics. One of the things that I've been saying lately, which has been getting quoted, is that spectrum used to be a scarce commodity, and today spectrum is as commonplace as a domain name, which you can buy or rent from Network Solutions for $35 a year. And if you don't mind shopping around, you can get it for even less. $35 a year for basically your own namespace, in which you can put a virtually infinite number of different radio stations into. All we need now is the content. And, you know, just the soliloquy format of podcasting, or I almost said blogcasting. That's kind of cute, actually. The soliloquy form, which is what I basically practice, hey, you know, my words, copyright Dave Weiner 2005, you don't like it, you know, fuck off. I mean, that's, I don't have to pay anybody to license my own words and my thoughts and my ideas. So there's an opportunity, and then with indie music, with music that wants to play by these rules, where it says that it says basically we understand that guys like Dave, because I honestly don't know if I'm going to become like an Adam Curry style podcaster. You know, it's not my style. He does it so well, and other people are picking up on it, and they're doing it so well. I mean, I do this like I do blogging, basically. Not with the goal of getting mass, although of course I don't mind if that should happen, but I'm not like driving it towards that. What I'm really doing is basically looking for a way to sort of an outlet for my thinking, and a way to communicate what I want to say to willing listeners, people who are maybe even passionate listeners, people who find what I have to say interesting. I don't want to try to force the ideas onto anybody. I don't want to market them to anybody particularly. I just want to sort of put them out there and then see what comes back, and then refine them and do it, you know, iterate over it sort of in a loop fashion. It would actually be very hard for me to play music right now, because my setup is basically I plug my microphone into the computer and I press start, and, you know, whatever's in my audible space is like what you get. So if I'm talking, that's what you hear. If there's road noise, that's what you hear. If the engine is starting, that's what you hear. If I'm playing the radio, that's what you hear. You know. So I'm not like trying. It could get, you know, maybe surprise me, you know. Maybe this will become massively interesting. But frankly, you know, I'm not really expecting it. Anyway. So, monoculture was the thought that basically, and it is very sort of reassuring thing to know that everybody is hearing the same thing you're hearing. I think that's why things like the Super Bowl are so exciting, because, I mean, people who, like myself, I'm not even a football fan. I don't really even like the sport. I get bored by football. I don't understand it. It's not like my shtick. I don't like it. I like baseball. You know, it's not like the other day I was saying, you know, I met somebody who voted Republican, and I started to say, well, you know, I can respect that. And then I caught my tongue and I said, well, nah, not really. But with the case of people who like football, yeah, I can respect that. That's fine. It's just, we're talking sports here. It's not like the end of the world. It doesn't really matter that much. So if you like football, that's fine with me. But I do like watching the Super Bowl, and I do pretty much watch it every year. There's this feeling that this is something everybody is watching, and that community of unity, that monoculture is a thrilling thing. And but the piece that I wrote about monoculture was kind of, it was an interesting question that came up at the first BloggerCon about, I guess, about a year later. Esther Dyson said, you know, there's something unnatural about this, and you know, human beings are still going to be human beings. And she was sort of saying that this idea of personal publishing may only appeal to a small number of people because of the way human beings are constructed. And my answer was, well, maybe we lost something when we went to monoculture, the sort of sense of community that comes from like a village that makes its own entertainment, where you could like go down to the bar on a Friday night, or to the, go back a few generations to the campfire on a Friday night, and hear one of your neighbors sing a song and playing a guitar or whatever. Now, somehow that might be more nourishing than listening to something that is like, you know, designed, marketed, you know, to sort of appeal to everybody. That you could have something that sort of speaks specifically to you and your kin, and that there is, maybe there is something essentially human about that that we've lost, that we can now go back to, and maybe we'll feel better about ourselves if we do. And I don't doubt that we do feel that way, that it will work out that way. So I'm glad to say goodbye to monoculture, and I'm not one of those people who believes that it's the end of the world if you know, if the system were to shift, and the way, you know, I don't really care if music is a moneymaker. I don't really care if blogs are moneymakers, or if podcasts themselves are moneymakers. I do think that all these things can be used in commercial contexts, and I'm essentially a commercial guy. So I like, you know, products. I really, you know, I've always felt there's an honesty in creating a product that you don't necessarily get any other way. But that doesn't mean that the product has to be without competition, and that the user has to be left without choice. Those are not good things. That when, you know, when you have nothing, no competition to keep you honest, and your users have no choice, it's a formula for the kind of stagnation that the computer industry finds itself in so often, because monopolies seem to form here so frequently. Anyway, so to pop all the way back to the beginning, and when I stopped by McDonald's, what I was hoping to find would be a wireless signal, and I did not find one. Sometimes I have to restart my computer to find the signal, and so I did. And you know, when I just said, told the computer to show me all available wireless networks, came back with an empty list. So the reason I'm doing that is because I wrote up a list of predictions for 2005, and one of them was that McDonald's would not embrace Wi-Fi. And what that meant was that, you know, it was sort of, look, there's a McDonald's at the next exit, because I'm just about to wind up here. Then that would be really cool if this one has Wi-Fi, then I'll be able to upload this immediately. So I'm going to get out now and see if they do have it. So now I don't, of course, know what town we're in. Maybe maybe at the very last minute they'll tell us. Of course, all the intersections on the interstate, they all look the same. We've got a Linens and Things, Rag Shop, Ross, Petco, Target. There's a Target. Oh, how do I need a Target? You know, I love Target. I know you're supposed to say Target, but I'm not that cool. Anyway, McDonald's is 0.2 miles to the left. There's Denny's here. Denny's is dangerous. I can't go into a Denny's. Denny's is an instant 5-pound gain. So, and while I do like sort of like distrust monoculture, I do love the idea that McDonald's would all have Wi-Fi. And I think that that's a step on the path. It's not the end result, because then what I want is I want a real pod that I can travel with. I want to be in a container that moves, and I want that container to have a cot in it so I can sleep, and a comfortable way for me to sit up and use a laptop, nice windows, so I can park this thing in places with great scenic beauty. Because the one thing that they miss at all the like hotels and motels that I stay at is they may be in a very, very beautiful place, but they never, this last place I was at did, but this is the first one, they never deliver the real scenic beauty to you in the hotel. I don't know why they do that, but they don't do that. I mean, if you're like in a place where there are great mesas and mountains and, you know, desert landscape, why not give me a nice, beautiful picture window where I can see all that? You know, well, this one, I had a window that looked right out onto the Atlantic Ocean from the fourth floor and a beautiful patio. The hotel was really sleazy and dirty, kind of smelled bad too, but you can overlook that because the bed was comfortable and had a nice desk, had Wi-Fi. It had this gorgeous view, and I don't know, there's nothing like the restful sleep you get from ocean air. Ocean air is just really good for you. And yeah, I don't even know why or if it's true, but it really feels that way. It really feels good. Anyway, so I'm here waiting to make a left turn, and once I can make the left turn, I'll be in the McDonald's parking lot. That's as far as I'm going into this McDonald's because I don't need any of their services, other than I would be happy to sign up for Wi-Fi. And I'm going to keep recording as long as I need to tell you. We're at 33 minutes right now into this, which is just a really good length. I'm going to stay on the recording as long as I need to ascertain that, in fact, we do or do not have Wi-Fi. And if we don't have Wi-Fi, then I will wait until I find a connection somewhere, and that's when I will upload. So I now have my left turn signal. Ding, 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 ding. And now I'm making a right into the McDonald's parking lot. You know, all the flags are at half staff here today. I don't know why. I haven't, like, heard. Now, Shirley Chisholm died, but you know, that would be, I know she lived in Florida. Okay, I'm not sure that I'm in a good enough parking spot to actually be able to tell, but I kind of hope so. See, this would be ideal. This is like, you like pull your pod in to a parking spot, and hold on. So view available wireless networks and refresh network list. Ding, 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 ding. Uh-oh, there is one. It's called Pool, but I am not connected to it for some reason. Ding, 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 ding. Let's turn this off. Wait, why are we not connected? Let's try. Of course, I gave you two options that either there will be or there won't be, but I didn't give you the third, is that maybe it will appear to be one, and I won't be able to get on it. Well, let's see what's on the radio. Oh, I love this song. we kind of don't have the connectivity. So we'll let Paul McCartney close us out here. This is Morning Coffee Notes. See y'all later. Next time with Adam Curry. With Adam Curry from Miami, Florida, everybody. Here, baby.